Last week I said something that I think is worth repeating. If you don't like fire, you don't want God in your life. Because God is a consuming fire. And his heart is to get our hearts on fire, because it's being on fire is more than just a youth thing. Or more than for people that have eccentric personalities or charismatic personalities or extroverted personalities, however you want to call it. Being on fire is not an outward manifestation of shaking. Being on fire causes us to repent quicker, because the Bible in Revelation says, be ardent and repent. So an ardent, fiery heart, we learned a couple weeks ago, actually gives us a grace to repent. And then it also gives us the zeal of the Lord. Now, I talked last week on the zeal of the Lord, how unfortunately many people have been hurt by the wrong kind of zeal, which I didn't say last week, but I want to say this. The zeal of the Lord, it may look different, because the zeal of the Lord, by definition, we talked last week, is getting in line your emotions with God's emotions of about how he feels for a subject or a person and execution in that reality. I know that's a big definition, but basically it's the zeal of the Lord is aligning your emotions to God's emotions about how he feels about a subject and doing something about it. And we talked about Phineas. Remember Phineas, how he looked with zeal in his heart at someone who was committing immorality, and nobody told him what to do, and he thrust a javelin into the people that were committing immorality when God was already pronouncing judgment for immorality. Could you imagine there was immorality being punished, and someone just blatantly does not have the fear of the Lord and continues to do it? Well, Phineas, we learned last week in Numbers, took that javelin without anybody telling him, and he thrusted it into those people that were doing it. And the Bible says that he quenched, by his zeal, he quenched the anger of the Lord. We also learned last week that Nehemiah had zeal to institute the family, zeal to institute prayer, and he had a zeal to institute kingdom finances back to the kingdom. Today I want to talk about something really important that I think is very important in concluding in this message on an ardent heart, a fiery heart. It is absolutely impossible to not want the fullness of God and not want an ardent, fervent heart. It's just impossible. Now, some of us are scared because we've had the wrong idea of that, but I want to say this. The zeal of the Lord is always incongruent with the character of the Lord. Because a lot of times we use our speech in a wrong way and just call that the zeal of the Lord. Well, that's wrong too. We just can't be zealous emotionally and be rude at the same time. Now, sometimes when you're zealous for the Lord, people that don't understand God's heart will get confused. Does that make sense? So Isaiah chapter 62, here's where I want to start this morning. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1. By the way, we had a great children's camp this past week, and my kids were there, and we just want to thank Lenny and the team for all of you guys that are here tired this morning and helping throughout the week. Very, very popular scripture. We use this a lot in the house of prayer. We read it a lot, especially for our Israel sets. But in doing some of my studies and just really coming alive, doesn't it feel good to come alive in God? Doesn't it feel good? Well, an ardent, fiery heart is what does that. We come alive because Christianity is not about formats and things. It's about pursuing a person. And when you are in love with somebody, especially when you are going into that courtship stage, you don't casually just await your wedding day. You're like, I can't wait for this wedding day, right? Come on, somebody's like, uh-oh. But it's true. In those times, you just can't wait. That's a burning. That's a fire that burns in your heart. Now, I want to say this because I understand that this is talking about Israel. He's talking about the people of God. But through the lens of Revelation and through what Jesus did on the cross, he's talking to us this morning. He says, for Zion's sake, now listen to this, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness. Everybody say brightness. We learned a couple weeks ago that one of the definitions for ardent is bright, brighter than any light. That's what we talked about. That a burning, fiery heart the ardent, the word ardent actually means brightness. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation, I love this, as a lamp that burns. Her salvation is a lamp that burns. Now, without getting into all the other theological implications about this, I want to look at this from another angle this morning and then give you some scriptures. God is actually telling us this morning, now watch this, church, that he will not relent. He will not quit. He will not stop pursuing. He will not stop pursuing your heart. He will not stop wooing you. He will not stop trying to get you near his presence until your heart starts burning. Until our righteousness shines forth like brightness and our salvation, listen, as a lamp that burns. Can I just be honest with you? It's time that our salvation looks like a lamp that burns. It's time that our walk with God, I want to be a lamp that burns. I want to be that. And so this scripture obviously is a promise of the Holy Spirit's activity at the end of the age, but it's also a promise for reality in our hearts right now. I want to be a lamp that burns. And in order for my lamp to burn. Now, here's where I'm going to talk about two realities this morning. We have to know above our emotions, our heart has got to be right. Our heart. Because out of the heart is the foundation of everything that we do. It's impossible to talk about an ardent heart. I just realized I've been on this series 3 weeks, and it's impossible to talk about developing a fiery heart without talking about the heart. You have to talk about the heart and the reality that the Bible says, listen, above your emotions, above your strength, above your mind, I need strength. We all need strength. But above me needing strength, my heart has got to be the one that clicks and connects with God more than anything. Why? Because Proverbs 4 says this, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it what? Flows the issues of life. The issues. I mean, that's we got a lot of issues. Guard your heart. For out of it flow the issues of life. Could it be that the reason why we're not having a fiery heart is because we know how to get stuff, we know how to do it right, we know all the steps and the programs, but maybe we're not guarding our heart. And what does guarding mean? Guarding, protecting of what we allow inside of it. And what other people may have done or said that unintentionally have put stuff in there, in our hearts. And we have to realize that out of the heart comes all of our actions. Really. Really, it doesn't take God by surprise when he sees a heart that's hurting and not getting healing. And even though you may love God with all your heart, if you do not guard your heart or be careful of what you put in your heart will dictate the actions, what you walk in, and even what you talk. And so in order to develop our heart, we've got to be zealous, hear me now, to guard our heart from all these subtle infiltrations. And I want to say this. What does a watchman do? What does a watchman do? He looks. He guards for the enemy. He's constantly on watch. If we were that fervent to constantly watch for the little darts of the enemies to not penetrate our heart, we will have a burning heart once again. We will. Because we're not watchful. Most of the time, it kind of sneaks up on us. We're like, well, we had a little bit here. And not realizing that if you don't talk about scripturally now, the reality of what the heart does to your actions, you will never have a burning heart. Even, listen, let me tell you this. Even Jesus, when he was talking about one of the parables, he talked in parables a lot to the disciples. And one time he was talking about a parable that directly had to do with the heart. And he stopped everything. It was the parable of the sower. And in that parable, that sower would sow seeds, which is what? The word of God, right? And that in that parable, the enemy, he talked about four different grounds, how the wayside and the enemy would come in and grab it. And then he talked about the stony ground where it just has little fruit. But the whole purpose was that the enemy would like to always get the written, engrafted word out of our heart. The ground speaks of our heart, and so that we won't be unfruitful. But I it's interesting because when he started this parable, you know what he said? And this is the 2013 version here. He said, okay, guys, hold up right now. Because one of the disciples goes, I don't understand the birds and the fowl and the air and the wayside. Can you imagine me saying in all these metaphors? And rightfully so, the disciples were like, I don't understand the wayside rock thing. I don't understand thorns. I don't have thorns in my heart. What are we talking about? And Jesus said something powerful about the heart. He says, hold up. If you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything else I say. Read it for yourself, Mark chapter 4. He said, if you don't understand what I'm about to say now about the principles of your heart and guarding that heart, you will not get anything else I'll say. So let's stop right now and let's get this parable. Let's get it. Because if you don't get this reality, you will just frivolously walk in life claiming that you love me. But the Bible clearly says that these people in Isaiah, and he quotes it again in Matthew, draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Isn't that amazing? You could actually praise the Lord with your mouth and your heart is away from him. These people draw near to me with your mouth, but their heart, see again, the heart is the key thing. So with that in mind, in order for us to develop our ardent heart, we've got to be zealous to guard our heart. If we're zealous and get angry when we see someone punch our kids, how much more when we see the enemy try to invade our heart? But we don't. We keep it kind of casually because of grace, and that's great. I love grace. But listen, I'm going to say something real powerful. It is not God's responsibility to guard your heart. It's yours. It's ours. God, in Proverbs 4, it doesn't say, God will guard my heart. According to, you know, because out of it flows the issues. He says, no, you need to guard your heart. Now, look at Matthew chapter 15. There's two realities I'm going to give you today. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. And I want to go there because first I want to talk about the heart. And then I want to talk about the ingredient. This is going to be good. The last ingredient that to me, listen to me, church, it is by far in my studies and in scripture and in my experience, what I'm going to tell you in a couple minutes, by far is the quickest way to get a burning heart. And it's awesome. It's lovely. But first, I want to talk about guarding the heart, because you cannot have a burning heart. You cannot have a fiery, ardent heart without the reality of you taking responsibility to guard your heart. You know, and I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. While we're turning to Matthew chapter 15, the Bible is clear in its principles that sometimes, now please hear me with your heart and not with your mind only, it is easier to live in bondage than to live in freedom. This is not saying that the Holy Spirit does not have power. Does he have? No, I'm not saying that. Because once you tap into the power of God, it is easy. But what I'm saying is, in the natural, it's easier to live in bondage than in freedom. Why? Because bondage requires no restraining power whatsoever. You give into all your emotions or whatever you want. But freedom requires responsibility. And the church doesn't like responsibility. We want God to do everything for us. But, I love it. When people, I need to work out, glory to God. But the people that work out will understand this principle. You just don't wake up and have six packs on your abs. I wish that happened to me. Lord, oh hallelujah. Tomorrow I have faith. Six packs in the name of Jesus. No six pack. No bicep. No whatever, however you want to call it. No gun show. Whatever. No. What does it take? What does it take? Responsibility. Responsibility on your part to eat right and work out. Can I hear an amen? The same discipline is needed to guard your heart. Now look at what it says. Look at what I love the words of Jesus. Look at Matthew 15, verse 10. I want to hurry because I really want to give you the ingredient of this last burning heart. Why? Look at me for a second before I read that. Keep that up there. 2 weeks ago, we found out the first ingredient to have a burning heart is the scriptures. Everybody says scriptures. In Luke 24, remember the Bible says that when Jesus was talking to them and he opened the scriptures, that the disciples says, did not our hearts burn when he opened the scriptures to us? Hello? Opening the scriptures on a daily basis gets your heart on fire. The scriptures. I'm going to tell part two today. But first, look at what he says about the heart. When Jesus, chapter 15, verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, But what comes out of the mouth, now hear me now, because I'm going to share something here, it defiles a person. Verse 12, then his disciples came to him and said, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if blind leaders lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. I mean, again, Peter's like, I don't understand. I don't understand the thorns. I don't understand this. What are you talking about? Look at what Jesus said. We need to be zealous about this, guys. Probably more so than anything we guard in life, we need to be guarding our hearts more. Jesus said, are you still without understanding, Peter? Do you not yet understand, verse 17, that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it's eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, hello, out of the mouth, come from the heart. And that defiles a person, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now listen, not only from the heart comes unrighteousness, but from the heart comes righteousness. From the heart comes love, peace, joy, grace, mercy. From the heart, from what God has been working in the heart comes your actions as a believer. What you allow in your heart and to the degree you allow it in your heart will determine without question what comes out of your mouth. I used to, when I was a youth pastor and I was here for, you know, many years, I used to tell this story all the time. So you guys are probably going to hear it again. I used to tell the youth all the time, you know, I don't have to have a special extraordinary gift of prophecy or supernatural gift of discernment of some special gift to know what's in your heart. And they would say, well, nobody knows my heart. The Bible's clear. Only God knows my heart. I know only God knows your heart. But all I need from you to know what's in your heart is let me spend 15 minutes with you and let me hear you speak for 15 minutes and I don't have a clue what's in your heart. Why? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then that's why we have to guard our heart, because we have to realize that it's impossible to say we have a fiery heart and casually be loose with our speech and our confession. I'm going to say that again. Hi. It is impossible to say I am on fire for God and be loose with what comes out of my mouth. And I'm not only talking about curse words. I'm not talking about that. I'm beyond that. I'm talking about, what are you confessing? Well, here it is. I read some people's posts, some Christians' posts, and they always are complaining, always barely hanging on. It's a bad day today. I'm going to barely survive today. Oh, God, help me today. I am just ruined today, and I'm barely to... That is an indication, my friends, of what's in your heart. Because it's impossible to say you have true freedom and say, well, you just judge me, Pastor George. You know, I'm just having a bad day. But it's coming out of your heart. Because whatever you speak is coming out of your heart. It's a fact of life. And so I talk to people all the time that don't realize that their speech, their mouth, their confession is actually contrary to what the Bible calls what a burning heart looks like. Got quiet up in here. Look, listen. And I'm saying that to stomp your toes. I'm not. I'm just saying we've got to get to a realization that a burning heart is much more than just feeling something. A burning heart actually comes from the heart that's been guarded and pured. And therefore, when your heart is guarded and pure, fire comes of the Holy Spirit. And when fire comes, your speech changes. Your confession changes. Your words change. Guys, I remember talking to a young person one time. I'm scared. I go, you have the blood of Jesus on you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have angels around you, encamped around you. What? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. What are you afraid of? Never thought of it that way. Holy Spirit in you. God in you. The blood of Jesus. Angels encamped of those who fear him. But because our hearts have somehow been invaded by something that's not from God. Now, that's up to you to understand. But the two best ways that the enemy and the Lord, I'm going to say this again, the two best ways that the enemy and the Lord goes through the heart is through the two main gates, the eye gate and the ear gate. There's other ways. I mean, if you smell something, I don't think it's going to affect your heart spiritually that much. Unless it's a smell that reminded you of when you were bound by something. But mostly what you allow with your eyes and you allow in your ears has direct access to your heart. So you say, how do I guard my heart? Easy. Watch what your eyes see and watch what your ears listen to. I know that sounds basic, but we are not doing that. We're not doing that. If we did, we'd be all fiery hearts in this morning. Because there's other things that we've allowed in our hearts that Jesus says it's impossible to have a fiery heart without guarding your heart. And I want to read a quote that I read. Until you and I get a vision and a plan to get our heart set on fire, you probably won't have one. I read it in a book a couple of weeks ago, and that book was by Mike Bickle. And he said, until you and I get a vision and a plan, we think vision and plans are only for business people, no? Therefore, our walk with God. Until you and I have an actual vision and plan to get our hearts on fire, we probably won't have a heart on fire. Because this is what we say. It'll come. You know, I'm going through a phase right now. Just leave me alone. I'm going through some hurt. I'm going through some phase. It'll come one day. One day is going to come. Like it's going to come like we're walking in Disney World. You know, we're watching Mickey Mouse and we're watching that. And all of a sudden, whoa. How did that happen? I have a fiery heart now. Glory to God. This is awesome. No, what's going to happen is nothing is going to happen if we don't have a plan or a vision. Listen to me, a plan and a vision and a goal to actually say, what am I going to do differently from this day forward to develop an ardent heart? Sometimes tough decisions have to be made. So I said the heart thing. So what is the main ingredient? This is where I'm going to hit on the rest of this morning. What is then the absolute quickest way? Once we guard our hearts and we realize our hearts are guarded, what is one of the quickest way to get an ardent heart? The scriptures, are you ready for this? Music and singing. There is no quicker way, in my experience and scripturally, to have a burning heart than opening up the scriptures and singing melodies to the Lord. I mean, laying hands on somebody will do something, but let me tell you, to make your heart truly unlock itself, music has a capability. Now listen to me, a capability to unlock the deep chambers of our heart so that God could come in with his very essence. Music has a psychological effect by divine design. I want to say this so that you guys won't think I'm going off somewhere. Designed by God. God actually designed music to open up your heart. He did. You know, in Ephesians, you don't have to go there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, he says this. Paul the Apostle says this. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the very next verse says, singing psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart. It's a little clue there how to get filled with the Holy Spirit too. How to walk in the Spirit is singing unlocks the heart. Music in itself. Now watch this. I'm going to get somewhere in just a second. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at what Paul talks about. And we did it this morning in Edwin, wherever Edwin is. He didn't even know my message. And he started doing it. I didn't even talk to him about my message. And look at what 1 Corinthians, oh, this is good this morning, church. Everybody say singing. We have to guard our heart, and then if you say, okay, what is the best way to get a burning heart? If you were to ask me and sum up your message of 3 weeks, what's the quickest way to get a burning heart? Guard your heart, open the scriptures, and what we're going to talk about today. Develop a lifestyle of singing and then worshiping. And it's not only for worship leaders. Believe me, I sing all the time, and I'm not a worship leader. But what it does in my heart, oh my goodness. What it does in my heart, it tenderizes my heart. We came from Ecuador, and this is one song that I love. Could you guys put 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 up there? We came from Ecuador, and when we were in Ecuador, there's this one song that was in Spanish that was called Precioso Jesus. Anyways, it's Precious Jesus. Precioso Jesus. You guys don't know it. But it, oh my goodness, it
touched me, and my wife was so sick of it because not because she didn't love that song, because I played it over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because when you guys get a song, it doesn't matter if I exalt thee or I love you, Lord. There is a song that moves your heart. Whatever that is, play it over and over and over so that whatever you got to do to get a vibrant heart through worship and song, even if it's from the 70s, play that. If it gets your heart alive, do it. Glory to God. And I was playing Precioso Jesus. Mire, and then she's like, I go, I love this song. She goes, I know. And I'm just praying. It was so beautiful. I just kept repeat. Why? Why was I doing that? Because I loved what it was doing in my heart. I loved it. And there's sometimes certain songs will do that. Why? Because music, hear me now, I'm gonna talk about music a little bit. Good and bad. Because listen, music has a capacity to like I've never seen before, to open up the chambers of the heart. And once the heart's open, it's vulnerable to either righteousness or unrighteousness. So look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. Look at this. This is beautiful. Look at verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll also pray with understanding. Now look at this. Is Paul. This is the preacher. This is not he's not known for singing. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Keep going to verse 17. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the others are not edified. He's talking about the balance of singing, not just praying in the Spirit, because we do that well. But God is actually giving us a secret here. You want a burning heart? Develop singing with understanding in your personal life and sing in the Spirit. Do you notice that in that context, he didn't say, only do this in service, on a Sunday morning service. He said, no, as a believer, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. I will sing with understanding. What is singing with understanding? Songs that you actually know. Singing in the Spirit is singing melodies in your heart to God. So singing, he said, I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing in the understanding. Singing frees the heart from dullness. Oh, glory to God. Singing, again, not for minstrels, not for beautiful voice people. For every believer, singing not only unlocks your heart, hear me now, and music, just regular music. And I want to get that in a second here. But singing also gets your heart free from dullness. Listen, the music had such a powerful, nothing moves your heart faster in a consistent way than music. Listen, a movie scene is just a movie scene, and a scene is just a scene until music comes in the background. And all of a sudden, you're nervous. You're getting passionate. Your heart's pounding because music in the background, you don't even know it, but it's psychologically enhancing your emotions. And you're like, dun, 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 and you're looking at this mysterious movie. And all of a sudden, in real life, you see something mysterious. It's not that bad, but all of a sudden, dun, 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 and there's this music in the background. And watch this. And then you got nervous. Your heart started pumping. You get emotional. You even start talking to the TV. Get him. He's behind the door. Right? Because you hear, oh, no, whatever that music is. Listen, Jaws would not be that intense if it wasn't for the music. Come on, somebody. Hey, look, we stroll around. We've seen sharks before. We just, look, there's a little shark. All the camera did was, look at the power of music. Look at the power of music. All the camera did in that classic was show a fin. A fin. Just a fin. And then you heard this.
Dun dum.
And you're like, right? And your heart's going, why? If there was no music, if there was no dun dun dun, it would just be a fin. But music, oh, this is good now. Music changes your emotions. It has the capacity to engage you with what it wants you to engage in. Listen, music has power. That's why we got to be careful the music we listen to. I know I'm going to get emails for this, but listen to me. It's just, music has power, church. It does. And this is a way to unlock the heart for burning hearts. And so when you see this, all of a sudden Jaws becomes different because of music. And look, ladies, you could, all the ladies, listen, you could agree with me. When you have a romantic movie, all the romantic flicks, I mean, we see people hugging and kissing all the time. It doesn't move us. Oh, that, when we walk in the street in the park and we see a husband and wife look at each other in the eye and kiss, we don't go. But all of a sudden, when you get a romance flick, a chick flick that they call it, whatever, a romance movie, and all of a sudden this music, and then, you know, the guy's looking at the, and the lady's looking back at him, and they're dancing, they're falling in love. Just 5 minutes later, a woman that was totally normal, you look back on them, they're like. Or they do that smile. I walk in sometimes with my wife, and she's watching a romance flick, and she's like. You don't even notice it, but you're like, you're reacting to the music. Because we don't do that when there is no music. Come on, let's be honest. When's the last time you looked at your mom and dad that were hugging you like? Music does it. Listen, when you get a military music, you become militant. When you get a patriot, when you hear a patriotic music, all of a sudden, I love in July 4th, I don't even know the words, but I love this song. And I gladly stand up next to you. Na, 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 na. I don't know that part. then he goes this. Ain't no fun, I love this land. Then he goes, God bless the USA. I'm like, America! Yeah! You know, when I get... Isn't it true, though? Isn't it true? You walk in 4th of July, nothing happens. You're not really abnormal in that emotion. All of a sudden, when you hear, God bless the USA, and I'll gladly stand up, you're like, whoa. Right? In your heart, you're like, I am American. If regular music has the capacity to do that, how much more when you sing songs directly to God has an opportunity to open your emotions and your heart to the presence of the Lord in your heart? If Jaws could get you messed up, how much worship can? I know that sounds funny, but guys, there is a mystery of music that you and I don't fully understand that is the quickest way to get a heart on fire other than the scriptures, is singing songs to Jesus. That's why the enemy uses music. Please hear me now. And I'm not only talking to young people here, I'm talking to adults, young adults, infants, whoever. That's why, because the enemy knows, hear me now, the power of music. Don't think that just because we're ignorant of it, that the enemy is not. The power of music, what does music do? It opens the chambers of the heart. I don't fully understand it, to be honest with you. I don't fully, but I know it does that. Music soothes the soul. God built music, your spirit, to respond to music. God, I want to say that again. God built your spirit to respond to music. Why? And you have to understand, because it's his secret key to get us closer to him through worship. Now watch this. The enemy knows that, just like the Lord knows, that through song and through music, it opens up the heart. So what the enemy does is he uses music to open up our hearts. Otherwise, some of us would never open to the enemy blatantly like that. But we do it stealth mode, and we kind of say, well, that's okay. And I'm not saying that you can't listen to oldie music, you can't listen to all this stuff. But I am concerned about some believers that are absolutely obsessed with worldly music. I know you guys are not going to agree with me on that, but that's fine. I'm not. You don't have to agree, but it's in the scripture. I'm concerned with Christianity in America because I am concerned about some of the Christians that I see that are absolutely infatuated with worldly music, and on top of that, infatuated. I'm not talking about listening casually. That's cool. We do all that. But I'm talking about your very excitement. All of your excitement goes into either a different type of music or a obsessed or a fan of some person. There's nothing wrong with listening to music that is not Christian. There's nothing wrong to casually hear an oldie. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I have concerns about Christianity in America if our energy, more of our energy, let's just put it that way, to be fair, more of our energy for worldly music is consuming us more than music that glorifies God. Is that fair? In anything that we do, if we are bombarding ourselves constantly. And I used to tell the youth all the time, go check your library. Because they were there telling me, oh, no, you're just judging me. You know, I'm not that. And in their library, they would have like 2 worship songs and then like 90 otherworldly artist songs. Now, you may say I'm religious, but you know what? Because of the fact that music is powerful, we have got to wake up as a church to what we allow in our hearts. That's part of guarding our hearts. We talked about Matthew. Part of guarding our hearts, just to be simple and blunt, guard the type of music that you allow in your heart. Because music is powerful. And that's why the night and day prayer movement is so incredible. I was sitting in the prayer room the other day, and I didn't share this with anybody, but I'll share it with you. I've come here for years, and I sit in that corner right over there where Beth is at, around there. And we have a table, and I sit right there. And when I came a couple days ago, and I said, wow, my heart in the morning is coming alive because worship is going on, right? And sometimes we get in the routine. I understand that. I get in the routine like all of us do. But I said, God, I'm taking for granted what I have here. I'm saying me. I'm taking for granted what I have here. Most pastors don't have this. They come into an office, and it's all work, 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 administration, that's great, and no time to sing and sit before the Lord and worship. I looked at a pastor a couple years ago. I was having lunch with him, and I said, do you know what my job description is, and I get paid for this? He goes, what? I go, I sit before the Lord for 2 hours before I do any administrative work, any pastoral work, and I get paid for it. He goes, huh? Literally, I'm like, I go, that's my job. Before I do anything, I sit before the Lord. Because when you sit before the Lord, your decisions will become much, much crisper, much wiser, much more effective. Can I hear an amen? Worship team, could you come up here? I want to have a couple of scriptures. How many know that music and worshiping is a key to burn your heart? Now watch this. You think that's good? I'm gonna blow you away for just the last 10 minutes here. Because the Lord gave me an illustration. Now watch this now. I'm gonna have the worship team come. Here, I'll be done in 10 minutes. Now, can you imagine? Look at me with me. Let's review before I give you this last reality. What's the quickest way to a burning heart? Number one, opening the scriptures on a daily basis. Now, you may not feel anything at first. I'm going to be very honest with you. Sometimes when I read the word, I don't feel a burning. It's not about feeling a burning. It's what it's doing in your heart. I don't necessarily feel fire every time I read every scripture. However, the scripture will turn in me like as a fire. If I hide, listen, hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Let's reverse that then. Do not hide your word in my heart and I will sin against you. So the key is, for a burning heart, opening the scriptures, right? Number two, the second key to a burning heart is, watch this, this is powerful, singing songs to the Lord in music, right? Right? Are you ready for this? So if opening up the scriptures brings fire and singing songs brings fire, what would happen when you combine the two and sing scriptures? Sing scriptures. Whenever there's a scripture that is sang in song, straight from the heart of God, It will ignite your heart like nothing I've ever seen. Why? Because it's straight from the instruction manual of God to get our heart right on fire for God. Listen, but when I was younger, we used to sing songs about Jesus. Like, we are victorious, we are mighty warriors. And that's great. But there's a whole different reality when you're singing straight to Jesus, to the heart of Jesus, and you're actually singing scripture. And some of us don't even know it. Yeah, we're thinking, he delivers me because he delights in me over and over again. Right? And we sing that, right? And then all of a sudden you turn to Psalm 18. He delivers me because he delights in me. You're like, whoa. No wonder why I like that song so much. Seriously. The Holy Spirit will actually, without you knowing that it's scripture, will cause a certain song to really... It's a little lower, to really burn in your heart. Why? Because without some of you knowing it, you're actually singing scriptures. Whoa! That's, to me, is like an exciting reality. When you, the highest reality is, that, listen, there's one thing to sing songs. There's one thing to sing scripture. That's why, I'm not here to promote a model, but that's why what we do here in our ministry, we have harp and bowl, and we have worship with the word. We don't have that. But let me tell you, some songs that we worship in, even in our traditional Sunday morning services, we have no clue that it's straight from the Bible. My friends, if you do that on a consistent basis, say consistent. I'm not talking about on Sunday mornings now only. If you, I promise you this, here's your prescription for Ardent Heart. Here's the doctor's prescription. If you would promise God, listen, I'm going to make it simple. If you would make a commitment, a discipline to read the scriptures every day and spend some minutes worshiping the Lord by yourself, I guarantee you in time something will happen to your heart. Something will happen. You don't listen. Oh, glory to God. We spend so much time rebuking things and binding principalities and demonic strongholds that with a burning heart fueled by worship, all those things will be a piece of cake. Amen. If we spend half the time in worship that we did in rebuking addictions, we will be some powerful people. I rebuke this and I rebuke. And you know, we do it because we have a pure heart. We don't do it because we really want to get closer to the Lord. So we're, I rebuke this lust. I rebuke this anger. It's an anger problem. It's an anger problem. I just rebuke this anger problem. We actually really do mean that. But what I am telling you is going to be, in the long run, exhausting. Why? Because you're rebuking things that God says it will fall automatically when you have a burning heart. It will fall automatically when your heart is filled with scriptures and your heart is filled with singing. Listen to me. I promise you, we will have less counseling meetings. We will have less pastoral meetings to try to cast something out of you for an hour. It will fall off of you, my friends. A burning heart that is fueled by the scriptures. It even change your outlook in life. You will no longer do those. Say those things or post those things that you're, woe is me. You will not do that. You'll say, even though hell is being brought to my house, listen, you know what Job said? Though he slay me, I will yet praise him. That does not sound like the language of Christians today. Though he slay me, I will give up and I will not want to serve the Lord anymore. You know what I was contemplating on the other day? And I was talking to an individual about this. The writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews or Romans. I'm not sure at this moment right now because I was just breezing by it. But he's talking to people. The writer, he's talking to people who are like complaining about all these trials. And he goes, hey, hey, hey. Again, 2013 version. He's saying, you have not yet resisted to the point of flesh, of bloodshed. Bloodshed. In other words, calm down. You know what Paul called light afflictions? He said, and these light afflictions that we go through carry for us a far weight of glory. You know what he called light afflictions? Being stoned. Being left for dead. Being hit 39 times, 5 times. Being beat to a pulp. Being naked, being starved. Being almost killed, actually died. He actually died of stoning and then he got resurrected. Paul calls that light affliction. So that means, what are we calling heavy affliction? when you worship, it'll change the attitude of the. That's, he was a worshiper. Paul said, I was singing in the spirit. He goes, stoning, it's light. It's nothing. Because my heart's alive. Heart's alive. Financial problem? I'm happy. Why are you happy? Because my heart's vibrant and it's alive and it's burning. That's where we need to be. Now watch this. I'm going to leave you with one last scripture and then we're going to close. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's all go there. Are you enjoying this? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 16. Look at what this says. Oh, this is, I read this before and I never saw it until just recently. Put it up there, verse 16. Woo. Let the word, watch this, scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? In what? Here's a mixture of the word and psalms. Look, psalms and hymns and your spiritual song. Are you ready for this? Singing. Everybody say singing. Say singing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wait. You're missing it. Let the word, scripture, dwell in you so that you could be able to sing with grace in your hearts. In other words, the word being richly implanted in your heart is not so you could be a debate champion or you can know a lot of scriptures to debate people in the word. That's not the reason. He said the reason why I want you to have the word in your heart is so that you can have proper language to express your adoration and your worship back to God according to the word. The whole purpose that he wants you to have the word richly in your heart is not so you could debate somebody or you could defend yourself. That's good. One of the main purposes, I want you to have language so when you sing, you're not just singing fluffy stuff. You're not singing all this defeated stuff. I want you to have language for my word. And when my word is in you, you will sing my heart. You will sing my scriptures. No longer will your song be, oh Lord, look at me. I am so lost and whatever. Now, scripture mingled with the word and singing, it will be an identity now. I am a son. I am a daughter. And although I have fallen several times, I sing your word. And my friends, your heart will become on fire. You get a song and that works for you. You get a worship song. You know, the Bible says, and I'm closing right now, that the priest, we're going to close with this scripture. Let's all turn, and I promise I'm closing. We're not going to have altar call. We're going to worship today. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. My goodness. Chronicles should be labeled the book of principles of praise and worship. Pastor Carlos talked about 2 Chronicles, about Hezekiah restoring worship. Jehoshaphat praised on a mountain, and the enemy was confused. That's all in Chronicles. And this one, this is the last scripture. 2 Chronicles 5. Verse 11 through 14. Let's all turn there, and then we're going to worship. Who wants an ardent heart? Who wants a fiery heart? It's not just the scriptures, my friends. It's a scripture and singing. I'm going to challenge every one of you. I don't care if your voice is something that you feel is not a singer, or you're even embarrassed by your voice. That's why the Bible says make a joyful noise. Glory to God. It doesn't say make a beautiful song. Listen, to some of you, like me, it's a joyful noise, but it's beautiful in the heart of God. Look at this. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place for all the priests. Look at this. All the priests had sanctified themselves without keeping their divisions. Keep going. And the Levites who were with the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduth and their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. So what were they doing? They were worshiping. Look at the next verse. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and giving thanksgiving to the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. He's quoting scripture, by the way. He's singing scripture. His mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, look at the next verse, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. How did the glory fill the house? That the ministers could not even minister anymore. Could you imagine while I'm preaching, the people erupt in singing, and we are not able to minister anymore because the delight of the Lord enters in through our worship. You and I have to realize we have to guard our heart, but we have to practice the presence of God by opening our heart, our mouth to songs that have to do straight to the heart of God, singing the scriptures, and as a result, fire, burning, liberty, freedom, an ardent heart will come your way when you learn how to develop a worship life. Come on, everyone stand to your feet. Right now, we're going to worship right now. You're dismissed. It's 12:26. If you guys need to go, please go. The church is dismissed right now. Go get your children out of the other room. But today, we're going to end this by a heart of worship. Come on, I want us to lift up our hands, and I want us to get in tune. How many want an ardent heart? Come on. Come on, just right now, posture your heart. Say, God, give me a heart of worship. Let me guard what music I listen to. If we could put their sounds up, the musicians. Come on, come on, come on. We love you, Lord. Help us to develop a heart that burns. A heart of music. A heart of worship.
On somebody else's passion. I don't want to find it.
Look at music differently this morning, church.
I want to burn.
I challenge you to look. As a matter of fact,
deep down
I'm
going to
invite every church member to come up to the altar. Come on. Every church member, come to the altar right now. Come on.
Somebody else's passion.
Let's just worship at the altar right now.
I want to find that I'm just dry bones.
Go on, get out of your seats and worship.
I want to burn.
Jesus.
With unquenchable fire.
We want a burning heart.
Deep down inside, see you coming alive. Help me find my own flame. Help me find my own fire. I want the real thing.
Give us a heart that burns, Lord.
I want your burning desire.
We guard our hearts this morning.
Help me find my own flame.
Release the burning heart.